Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
According to James 5:14, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. I'm going to say that that verse tells us prayer changes things. Prayer may change people, but prayer changes things. And if you pray and you can meet those qualifications, those three that are there, your prayers are going to be answered.
James tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. I don't know about you, but I cannot hear that enough. Why should we pray? And what about those prayers that are never answered? With more about effective prayer and the will of God, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, and more from Luke 7, verses 1 through 10.
God tells us of the church that we are God's own special people, a chosen priesthood, a royal generation. We've been chosen among the people and we've been given authority, the authority that Jesus wants us to have. No wonder Jesus says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. I think we think, well, I'm the light of the world. I can go out and shine. But you're the light of the world that's been given authority. This guy understood that. And so he says, you can say the word and it will be done. The real great thing is it doesn't say here that Jesus says a word. He said, Jesus could do even better than he thought. He thought, you just say the word, it'll be healed. Well, we don't have a recording that Jesus even ever said a word. And so he goes on to say, when Jesus had heard these things, he marveled at him. There's only two places in the Bible where we hear that Jesus marveled at anybody. A lot of really neat people there in the Bible, Peter and James and John. He never marveled at any of them. Never marveled at Peter, never marveled at James, never marveled at John, marveled at Matthew. But he marveled at this centurion, and he marveled at another woman when he was in Tyre and Sidon. It's the only time we know that Jesus went out of the area of Israel. This was not Israel. And there a woman, Gentile woman, starts to follow him, saying, heal my daughter, and Jesus ignores her. And finally the disciples say, please tell her to go away. And Jesus says unto her, it's not right to take from the children and give it to the dogs, which sounds an awful lot like Jesus is calling this woman a dog. And she responds and says, yes, but even the puppies get to eat off the children's table. Hey, it works the other way too, right? You got kids and dogs, right? Am I right? But even the puppies get to eat from the children's table. And the Bible says Jesus marveled at her and said the same thing he says about this centurion. I haven't seen this faith in Israel. So here are two Gentiles. And I think there's something significant about that because he's going to go to the Gentiles. So he says, he marveled at him and turned around and said to those who were in the crowd that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. So he believes that Jesus has the ability to do things without even being there, can just say the word to do it. Then it says in verse 10, and those who were sent returned to the house and found the servant well who had been sick. So here in the text, it doesn't even say Jesus said a word. They just went home and he was healed. That might give us a little bit more of a clue about who Jesus was. So he was able to, as the Bible says, ask and you will receive. He was able to receive when he asked. Now let's talk a few minutes about prayer. Because the Bible tells us, ask and you will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. That's not telling you that every prayer you pray, you're going to receive. But you will receive prayers you pray. You're not going to receive them all because we learn to pray according to his will. Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be taken, prayed three times, didn't happen. Jesus prayed three times and said, not my will, but your will be done. We're taught in the Lord's Prayer that may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we are going to pray, we are going to ask, and we are going to receive. Not all of your prayers are going to be answered, but you are going to have answered prayers. And for that very reason, you ought to be like the centurion and you ought to ask Jesus. You ought to have faith to go because you're going to have prayers that are going to be answered. And then seeking you will find and knocking the door will be open. Those are other spiritual activities besides just praying. You're seeking, you're knocking. James 5:16 says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. C.S. Lewis made a statement, and other people have quoted this statement to mean this. And I've heard this said, prayer doesn't change things, prayer changes people. Well, I agree with the second part. Prayer changes people. But I couldn't disagree with the first part more. I like C.S. Lewis. I'm not sure they're quoting him right, by the way. When you go back and you look at his quote, I'm not sure they're quoting him correctly in what he was saying. But here, according to James 5:14, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. I'm going to say that that verse tells us prayer changes things. Prayer may change people, but prayer changes things. And if you pray and you can meet those qualifications, those three that are there, your prayers are going to be answered. I'm not going to say God's never going to say no to you, but you're going to have prayers that are answered. Finally, and this gets to the crux of everything, in John 5:14, we're told that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, he's going to give it to us. So our desire is to find out what the will of God is, and then to begin to pray things that are with the will of God, and he's promised that he will give them to us. So let's talk about some things about prayer that makes prayer effective. Number one, we have to have things right between us and God. One of the first things that I do when I pray is just to evaluate where I'm at. Is there unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life? Have I become angry? Have I become bitter? Am I bitter towards someone because of something that they said? Am I unforgiving towards anyone? So it's just like evaluating my life and my interaction with people, just making sure things are right between me and God. When I want to pray, I'm just in the habit of doing that. First thing that I do is basically say to him, I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy, Lord, and I got these things I need to work out. But righteousness, the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, we interchange righteousness and purity and holiness as if they're the same thing, but they're not. Purity is to have no sin. When you're righteous, certainly that's true, but it means to be in a right relationship with God. So you want to make sure things are right. The second thing is you want to make sure that you're in a right relationship with people around you. 1 Peter 3:7 says that husbands, talking specifically to husbands, your prayers are hindered when you are not treating your wife as a vessel of honor. So there could be reasons that your prayers are hindered. One of them is not treating your wife correctly. I don't see any elbows flying right now, so things must be pretty good. Don't think I don't see that from time to time, all right? A little bit of like a nudge. But really, I think it's much broader than that. I think that if we're mistreating people, it's like God's like, we got to take care of this first before we can go on to those things that you're praying about. Our prayers are hindered when we mistreat people. So just make sure you're right with people around you. The Bible says, be at peace with all men as much as it concerns you. Be treating people the best way that you can be figuring out to treat people. Make things right. And Jesus said this, the first two commandments, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make things right. The third thing that I see is we want to be effective, right? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. How are we effective? We've talked about it a little bit. In James 4:2, it says, you don't have because you don't ask. Again, here it's telling us the reason that we don't have is because if we're asking, God's going to give us things we don't have. So prayer is going to be effective. But then it says, you don't have when you ask because you ask amiss, wanting to spend it on your own pleasures. So you don't want to pray selfishly. You don't want to pray greedily. You want to pray for needs. I think that there are things that we should not be praying about. Every once in a while, people will tell me to ask me to pray for something, maybe even in joking or in passing, and I'll just say no. Some people are like, I pray for a parking spot and I get one up front every time. And I'm like, there's these desperate prayers people are praying and God's not answering them, but he's answering your parking spot prayer. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not happening, all right? God wants to give you maybe you really got to go to the bathroom and God's like, okay, fine. You won't make it if I don't give you a close parking spot, so okay. But there are plenty of things to pray for with the right motive that we can go, this isn't a selfish prayer, so we pray it. And we're told we don't receive prayers because we ask them amiss, wanting to spend them on our own pleasures. And it says, number five, pray as Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to break it down now, but as we're going to see in a moment, it's not a prayer to pray repetitively, but it's a stencil. You don't know what to pray for, you got to know what to pray. Well, then start praying through the Lord's Prayer. You almost all know it if you don't memorize it. And then you can pray, begin to pray through those. There's been times at night when I'm laying in bed and I'm awake and I want to pray that I just start going over the Lord's Prayer. And I think you hit all the key spots, things that you might not normally pray about, like deliver me from temptation. How often do you pray for that? Jesus said to, right? Or, you know, deliver us from evil. That's another good one. Or lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And then finally, pray fervently. Take time to really sit down before God and really pour your heart out to him. God honors that. Remember in the Old Testament, King Hezekiah was told by Isaiah that he was going to die from the illness he had. He was bedridden. He turned his face towards the wall and he cried. And while Isaiah was leaving, God stopped Isaiah, said, go back and tell him he's going to live. I don't even know what to do with that passage theologically. I still don't know what to do with it. The first time I ever read it, I thought, God told him he's going to die, then told him he's going to live. All I know is that that prayer changed a destiny. He lived 15 more years longer after God told him he was going to die because he fervently prayed. Fervent prayer. Don't be bored when you're praying. Don't be yawning when you're praying. Sit down before God and fervently call out to him. Let me just touch on a couple others and then I'm going to be done. These are the don'ts. Don't pray just to simply be seen by people. Jesus said, when you pray, Matthew 5, 6 and 7, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites when you pray, who love to stand on the street corner and pray thus to themselves. Now, I'm not saying we don't pray corporately, because corporate prayer is good. To have a prayer meeting, to get people together and pray, that's good. It's just bad when you're praying only so you can prove how spiritual you are to the people who are there. If you're going to be at an hour prayer meeting, don't pray for 45 of those minutes or 55 of those minutes. You think because you pray so eloquently and you're praying so long and you're really praying that people are thinking, my, they're really spiritual. Listen to how they pray. That's not what they're thinking. None of them are thinking that. People are thinking, I'm never coming to a prayer meeting again. That's what they're thinking. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying pray briefly and pray, maybe pray again later on. Don't monopolize the time. And that happens. I'm amazed how often it happens. And it happens when I, in the beginning of prayer meetings, I'm in, this is my speech. As I give the speech. All right, no monopolizing the time. And I might point to someone in particular. No monopolizing the time. And let's all pray and see God. And let's just take a lot of breaks. And let's let everybody pray. Somebody will start to pray. And there they go. This is also a danger for pastors. I pray every week. It's been a while since it happened. But every once in a while when I'm praying, say, the Lord lays something new on my heart. And I start to think, I'm praying, I'm thinking, this is a good prayer. And then I realize, I'm a lot like the Pharisees who are praying thus to themselves right now. It's a dangerous place to be. Instead, we're to find a secret place. Go and pray in secret where God sees you in secret will reward you openly. A couple other areas here that we might have some danger in, and I think people get uncomfortable when I talk about this. One of them would be public prayer for meals. I think praying for a meal is good. Praying for your home, it's great. When you get into a restaurant, don't make a big display of it. This is where I said people get uncomfortable. Sometimes I see people going, told you. Because, I mean, are we just praying to be able to, you know, we're trying to live out loud for Christ. That's great. And I pray for all of my meals before I eat them. I just, you know, do it quickly when I'm in public. I also think, and this is going to make you uncomfortable too, I also think that when athletes make a touchdown, bow down and pray, and we all go, oh, that's, I'm not so sure that's not a violation of what Jesus said when he said, when you pray, don't stand in the street corner and pray. That's a little worse than the street corner. TV, millions of people watching. You're like, okay, good. It's like, well, maybe that shouldn't be done. I'm not saying they don't live out loud. I'm not saying they don't give glory to God. I'm not saying that they don't live their faith out loud. I'm simply saying, hey, this is what Jesus said. We want to make sure we're not violating them because it's a principle that we don't want to violate. The second thing he said is don't be like the heathens. He says, don't be like the hypocrites who do things to be seen by people. Secondly is don't be like the heathens because they think they're heard for their many words. So the prayer of Jabez has become hot the last few years. You got testimonials. I started praying the prayer of Jabez every morning and my life turned around and all kinds of good things are happening. Well, I'm glad. I hope you're not just praying the prayer thinking it's some kind of magic prayer. Like the Lord's Prayer. So people think I say the Lord's Prayer every day because it's like magic. Not magic, but if you pray it meaning it, it's powerful. The prayer of Jabez, as far as I know, can be very powerful when you mean it, when you pray it. But don't just pray something over and over again. It's not wrong to pray the same thing over and over again as long as you mean it when you pray it. Jesus prayed three times. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. Three times. Paul prayed three times with a thorn in the flesh be taken from him. So it's not wrong to pray something over and over again. Pray, be diligent, be fervent in prayer, pray persistently, But don't just think you're going to be heard for your many words. The same thing is true with lengthy prayers. You know, you don't have to go into your room and, you know, I'm going to give an hour in prayer, because God answers hour-long prayers more than he answers prayers that just ask for something. I've learned to just pray until I'm done. Instead of going, I'm going to go pray for the church now, for the people of the church now, for an hour. It's much more comfortable to go in and pray until you're done. And I find that often I pray longer because I'm not worried about time. All of a sudden, I'm just like, I'm praying for people instead of trying to put in time. Just a couple more. Approach God humbly. I'm not worthy. God's against the proud, but he's on the side of the humble. I think sometimes pride gets in the way. So approach God humbly. And finally, don't give up. Jesus told parables, I won't touch them now. We'll get them in Luke later, where he said, gave them parables telling them to persist in prayer. And I don't know why God always wants us to persist and doesn't give us the answers right away. Maybe there's a spiritual battle taking place and we need to pray through until the battle's done. Maybe God just wants us to have enough faith to keep praying. He honors faith, and maybe God's just looking for that. But keep praying like a puppy with a pork chop. Some puppies, you give a pork chop, you're never going to get that pork chop back. Be like that with prayer. For those needs that you know that you've got, which are important, and you know that, just, you went over them earlier in the study, as I thought we talked about, this need for this centurion. May God move on your heart. May you pray fervently. I know I want to, for some things that I haven't been praying about lately. May God stir our hearts up towards them again. Let's see those answers that God gives us. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the encouragement of this Gentile who is outside of the sphere of the ministry of Jesus, and yet by his faith, he was able to receive without ever getting face to face with you. And Lord, we pray that we would learn from that, we would be faithful through our prayers, that we would not be prayerless. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. We Christians say things sometimes that don't make a lot of sense. We'll say things like, you can be saved if you receive Jesus into your heart. What does it mean to receive Jesus into my heart? Well, John 1 says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. That is, that you have the right to invite him in, but Jesus is looking for that invitation. If you don't ever say to him, Lord, come into my life, then he's not going to come in. If you say, I don't want you in my life, he's not going to force his way into your life. But if you invite him in, something's going to happen. You're going to change. He's going to change you. The Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. You are born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. When I committed my life to the Lord at 13 years old, I became a different person. I suddenly wanted to know the Bible. I suddenly wanted to go to church, which I didn't want to before I was given my life. I wanted to go to youth group, but I didn't want to go to church. And then when I walked away at 18 and came back at 19, even more things changed. I don't think I was born again. God just did more radical things when I was older in my life and changed me. And God will do that with you today if you say, I want you in my life. So if you're here today and you want to invite Jesus in, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. By lifting your hand, you're saying, I want to invite Christ into my life. I want to acknowledge your hand, and I want to pray for you as you invite Christ in. God bless you, sir, back by the post there. And God bless you, sir, on the side. That's great. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. That's great. God bless you guys here. That's great. Today is the day of salvation. It says in Hebrews, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. All right. You could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. I am very excited for you, and I do believe God's going to do some radical things in your life. We have a new believers table out in this foyer. We have a Bible we want to give you. It's the milk and the meat of God's word. It's far more than what you ever thought it was. And you're going to gain so much from it as you begin to read it. But we also want to give you a new believer's packet. That packet helps you to know, what do I do now that I've made a commitment to Christ? A lot of people raise their hands or make commitments and walk out of church and never follow through. This helps you know how to follow through. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story. There are people who will respond to that email. They can talk to you about what things you should do now based on what you're going through in your life. One more thing you can do, and that's you could text "Ready for Jesus" to 94,000. You're going to get a link. Click on that link. It's a new believer's card. Fill it out. We'll have people from our new believers team who will get in touch with you and get you what you need to have to be able to make sure that you get a good start with the Lord. We just want to do everything we can do to help you get that good start with the Lord. All right? The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. Men and women, I'm going to ask you guys, lift up your hands before God now. And I want to pray for you. And as you know people who are hurting that you need to pray for, would you pray for them? Receive the prayer that I pray if you need it. And then pray for people that you know as well. Father, I want to pray for all of those that are here in this room now. As we lift up our hands to you, made holy by the blood of Jesus that has forgiven our sins. And Lord, I pray first of all for healing. I pray for a touch, physical. You said that we would pray for the sick and they would recover. Lord, we know there are times that you don't answer that prayer or that you heal ultimately. But Lord, I do pray now, and you said they would be healed, and we do pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch and heal now. I also pray for those that are struggling with their faith. I pray for those that are struggling in their lives. I pray for those that have some mental disorders right now. I pray you touch and heal. There's nothing too hard for you. I pray for those that are brokenhearted. You've said you're close to the brokenhearted, and I pray you'd bring them peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you discover the power of effective prayer for the sake of those around you that are in need, that as you diligently, faithfully, persistently, fervently, effectively pray for them, God answers prayers. I think maybe one of the things that's encouraged me in preparing for this study today was that our prayers are going to be answered. Ask and it will be given. You know, it's going to accomplish much. You don't have because you don't ask. So we should be praying because God's going to answer prayers that we pray. Maybe not all of them. Maybe you'll say no to some, but God's going to be answering our prayers.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.